all the way around. I love it. It's great. I was excited. No, I was excited following the Virginia Democrats doing everything they possibly could to select the most radical, extreme, crazy, wackadoodle candidates. And by gosh, they pulled it off. Congratulations to them. You know what's really meaningful in all of this? And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. LeVar Stoney, who has never given a crap about the city of Richmond, as we know, who kind of set up shop here because, well, that's what Terry McAuliffe told him to do. He couldn't even win in the city. LeVar has always been, he's a failure. He's an epic failure. Worst mayor in the history of the city of Richmond. And that's saying something. We had some bad ones. But 17 out of 72 electoral precincts in the city went for him. Why do you think that is? He screwed the city up for 8 years. Now, he lied about it over and over and over again. He played all sorts of games and lots of not-so-secret secrets. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with LeVar. But he couldn't bamboozle the people of Richmond one final time. Don't cry for LeVar, by the way. I don't want you to think that he will now have to go and find himself a job in the dreaded private sector. You know, he's never actually had one of those. Not to worry. I'm telling you right now, as sure as I sit here, Terry McAuliffe will set him up just fine. He'll be making a half a million large before the end of the year. Will he have any job? No, he won't have any job responsibilities. He'll get one of those make-work jobs from his chief benefactor, Terry McAuliffe. How bad does Terry McAuliffe feel today? Well, he probably doesn't care, because T-Mac has always been simply about himself. But, I mean, he did go all in trying to pull this out for his pal LeVar, and he couldn't pull it off. Couldn't pull it off. Aaron Rouse, who was already telling people at the state capitol when he had been a state senator for, what, an hour? He was walking around telling people of the state senate, I'm going to be governor. I'm going to be governor. Well, you might be. I don't know. It's possible. But you're simply going to be what you are right now. And if the Republicans can get their act together, they might be able to grab that seat. It's possible. I don't do predictions. You know that. But it is fascinating. And Ghazala Hashmi. Can you think of a more extreme, hate-filled woman? I can't. Tiny Tim Kaine doubling down on his anti-Semitism, wants to make sure that the Jew haters inside the Democrat Party are well taken care of. So Tiny Tim Kaine, another one who doesn't know anything about real jobs, he weighed in and, of course, attacked Israel and all the rest of it. So he's going to be just fine with Ghazala Hashmi. There are very few people who are as pro-Hamas as Ghazala Hashmi. All of the protests, all of the rallies she's been at, all of these, quote, Free Palestine events, everybody knows exactly what it really is. The question becomes, though, does it matter? Well, it matters to me, but I was never going to vote for her anyway. But you know what might happen? I think we might very well see a bunch of ticket splitting. I don't know how you can be a Jew in Virginia and vote for someone who is in up to her eyeballs with the pro-Hamas crowd. I don't know. Now, maybe you could. My prediction is, well, I don't do predictions, but if I were to do predictions, my prediction would be that many in the reform part of Judaism will go to great lengths to welcome her, right? Because when you're in that portion of Judaism in America at this point, and it's just the way it is much more of a secular, humanist, political sort of a thing than it is, my opinion, the real faith of Judaism. So I think that will happen. But I think it's also going to be an age thing. I think Jews in Virginia who maybe are not in their 20s or 30s are going to look at this and say, well, look, we're good Democrats and all, but not a chance. Not a chance. Feel free to hit me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 5:20 this afternoon, we've got a pair of tickets for Tower of Power. They are playing this Friday down at the Beacon Theater in Hopewell. Looking forward to giving you the chance to win them. Don't forget, I'm off tomorrow because it's Heidi's birthday. That's why I'm off. But I'm taking the day off because the day off is offered. And it also happens to be Heidi's birthday. So that's a pretty good thing, right? Yeah. I think it's some good stuff there. A couple of things that are going on. I want to take a look at some of the texts that are already coming in. Some of them, of course, are moronic. But, well, I mean, it's what I've come to expect from this one particular phone number. Cats, happy Wednesday. Your show sucks. Thank you. Thank you very much. You keep listening. Listen closely. In fact, if I were you, I would listen every day. Don't miss a minute between 3 and 6 every afternoon. And tell your friends to come along and be here as well. Okay? I'm presuming you have a friend, but whatever. Then you and your friend, whether real or imaginary, can sit around and hate the show all together. Again, between 3 and 6, Monday through Friday, on News Radio WRBA. That's 96.1 on the FM, 1140 on the AM, and, of course, on your Odyssey app. Okay? 804, Jeff, have you seen the new Chesterfield County emblem, the new seal? It's replacing the old county seal. There's no history on the new one like there was on the old one. Also, the new seal just says Chesterfield. It doesn't say anything else about a county vehicle. Wow. All right. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't spend a huge amount of time down in Chesterfield, so I didn't see it. 804, Jeff, I can't believe the city of Richmond voted for a sheriff who kills inmates. Well, we do have to be fair. Sheriff Antoinette Irving is not killing inmates personally. But I think she's run that agency in such a poor fashion that inmates are certainly dying. But you get the government you vote for, right? The problem is that oftentimes other people get the government they didn't vote for, but that's kind of the way it is, right? To the victor go the spoils. In the city of Richmond, if you are looking at that sheriff's race, and I paid a lot of attention to it, as you know. I thought it was a very, very important election. I don't know that it's possible at this point that the Richmond City Sheriff's Office could ever be salvaged. But we'll see. We'll see. But it was a vote margin of one, about 1,000 votes. Again, it's people who didn't bother to vote. It's political organizations that don't bother to get their people out to vote or don't encourage people. So, I mean, it is what it is. But I think, though, that victory, coupled with the victory of the Commonwealth's attorney in the city, by a massive margin, 2-1 for Colette McEachin over the other guy, Barber. It's another reason why so many of us look at that and say, yep, it's part of the reason that we do not live in the city of Richmond. Tiny Tim Kaine must be worried that his base voted for the Jew-hating Hashmi. That comes from 804. Yeah, well, I think that selection of her is absolutely, absolutely going to come into play. It's odd, right? Ann from RBA hits me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Good afternoon, Jeff. I am very dismayed at the election results yesterday. The only thing to be thankful for is that LeVar Stoney got a resounding no from his previous constituents. It is what it is. We'll talk about it. Look, John Reed's going to be here at 4:30. We knew John was the Republican nominee for quite a while now. Here's what I would like to see. Let me say it out loud where everybody can hear me. I would like to see the Republicans come together and demonstrate to everybody that we are unified. Okay? I know there was a dust up here and there's a dust up there and we may not like this or that. I don't care. For the next, 5 months, 6 months, whatever it is. Not even that. No, I'm sorry. It's June, right? The election's going to be in November. All right, so 4 months. Takes us into October 18th, early voting. Yeah, 4.5, 5 months. So for the next 4.5, 5 months, everybody that really gives a crap over on that GOP side, you better put on your big girl pants and your big boy pants and get out there and make it clear that we are all unified. And don't just focus on the statewide races. Remember, the House of Delegates and the State Senate, these are 1 and 2 votes there. It is not impossible to take them back. Please stop listening to some of the talking heads. You know, we hear so much. Although Larry Sabato, who, of course, heads up the Larry Sabato Center for the promotion of Larry Sabato over at UVA, he's been quiet recently. But some of these other folks weigh in, and they're always telling you how Republicans can't win. It's never going to blah, blah, blah. Don't listen to them. God, just don't listen to them. That's all. It is 316, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 320, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. We've got a pair of tickets for Tower of Power. They're coming this Friday to the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. Give you a chance to win those at 5:20 this afternoon. I would love to hear what you're thinking. Hit me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. What do you make of these results? Everybody obviously knew it was a Spamberger. I think she's a dangerous person. And what makes her so dangerous is her ability, and it is a real talent, to be able to lie to people. Lie to you straight to your face. She's got no problem with that. I don't know if that's CIA training or what it is, but she certainly has that ability. Jay Jones wants to be attorney general. But all he has talked about, I mean everything, anything and everything that he's talked about, has been how he's going to go after President Trump. Now, what that has to do with being attorney general of our beloved Commonwealth, that is a great question. I don't know the answer to it, but that is his entire campaign. Jason Biaris has 4 years of doing right by the citizens, holding lawbreakers accountable, going after Commonwealth's attorneys that are not doing their job. So what's the campaign about then? What will it be about for some of the people in Northern Virginia? We can't kid ourselves. The people in Fairfax, Arlington, Alexandria, they hate Donald Trump. Will that be enough for the Democrats to say, well, we hate Donald Trump too, that's it? Look, we hate him more than you do. And if I'm Attorney General, man, I'm just going to file lawsuits. I don't know what my standing will be, but it won't matter. I'll still do it. Okay. Seems like a bizarre sort of a campaign, but it might be enough. What is Spamberger's campaign? If you take a look at what it is that she's been saying recently, she wants affordable housing. You know that she's going to gut the right to work law. What else? Is there anything else out there? I mean, abortion on demand, I guess. Abortion right up until the moment that the child is born. And, you know, just for good measure, maybe you throw in a couple of extra months. Well, maybe you don't like the baby after all. And then you decide, a couple of other trimesters into it, let's be done with them. She seems okay with that. It becomes all that much more important when we look at each of the candidates, not just on our three statewide campaigns, but each and every person running for a seat in the House of Delegates, running for a seat in the state Senate. All vitally important. It is 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday. It's hot. I'm seeing an update here that says we're probably going to see some rain rolling through this evening. Okay, I'll take it. But at the moment, we're right about that 90-degree mark. Tomorrow looks to be the same. Now, next week, just so you are aware, next week, the weather prognosticators are talking about 95 and above for the bulk of the week and no precipitation. So that's going to be tough. That's going to be a little nasty. I have a favor to ask of you. I hope you don't mind. Well, you know what? Even if you do mind, I'm still going to ask it of you. Now, you know that my best buddy, my official parade partner, Emily Morrissey, you know Emily. I will not be part of a parade unless there's room for two of us, because Emily is just so doggone good at that parade wave. And of course, whenever anybody's looking for a bracelet, you got to reach out to Emily and emilysbracelets.com. We know that. I'm just restating everything we already know. And of course, for Blue Friday, our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor, one of the favorite parts of that gift bag is, in fact, a bracelet, a thin blue line bracelet that Emily makes. Well, I've got a favor to ask of you. A couple of days from now, I'm not going to give you the date because I don't want people to think, well, it's too soon or it's too far away. A couple of days from now, my pal is having a birthday. Yeah, she is. Absolutely having a birthday. And I would love for all of us who are so inclined to send her a card. It's easy enough to do. So here's what I did. If you go to my Facebook pages, any of them, you will find a photo. It's me and it's Emily in our Christmas attire. Emily, by the way, is Santa's favorite elf. A lot of people are not aware of that, but it's true. I checked with Santa. It's true. Anyway, there's a photo there of the two of us, and there's her mailing address. So grab a couple of bucks out of your wallet, or, I don't know, grab a couple of bucks out of somebody else's wallet. All right, fine, ask permission. And then get yourself a card and mail it to Emily and put a nice smile on her face, because she always puts a big smile on everybody else's face. I think it's the least we can do. The wallet thing, I may share the screenshot. My youngest boy sent me a WhatsApp message that is his preferred means of communication. And he said, I went in your wallet to get some money, because he had asked if he could have some gas money. It's like, yeah, sure, whatever. I said, you know where the wallet is, just go ahead and take it. And he sent me the WhatsApp message. Yeah, I went in your wallet. There were no big bills left. There were no big bills in there, so I didn't take anything. And I said, yeah, there are no big bills in there because you keep taking them out of the flipping wallet. Get a job. And then I relaxed. It was good. All right. There's a verdict in that Karen Reed murder trial up in Boston, which is really, really fascinating. She's going to get probation, and they found her not guilty on all of the big charges and found her guilty of essentially drunk driving, and she gets probation for a year, and that's it. So we can stop with that circus, at least until such time as her book and her movie are released. And I guarantee you both of those are going to happen. A big cheer erupting in Casa Katz as Heidi has determined that our, and by our she means hers, her favorite at-home store location is not on the list of stores that's slated to close. If you are a fan of the at-home brand, I do have some bad news for you. Many of them, in fact, are going to be closing. Yeah. But if you normally go to the one down near the airport, which is the favorite of both Heidi Katz and Karen Leonard, the lovely bride to Tom Leonard, then Karen and Heidi will be in good shape. Joanne in Hanover says on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, looking forward to hearing John later. Thank you. All right. Well, it's Joanne in Hanover. Thank you. 804, listening to the ever-constipated Mark Warner. Squeeze it out, Mark! Yep. All right. Well, I don't know if that is ever going to happen. There just seems to be nobody who is as constipated as that man. I don't know. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Ghazala Hashmi sounds so boring. Yeah, I can't argue with you there. Jerome Powell over the Fed, this one says, Jeff, he's an idiot. We haven't had any inflation under Trump. No, in fact, we have greatly improving economic numbers and job numbers, and wages are up. It seems all the right pieces are in place for this alleged rate cut. So why not now? Well, because Jerome Powell hates Trump, too. That's why. P in Hanover says, Jeff, I just looked at the Virginia GOP event calendar online from June the 18th, that's the day, through June the 28th. There are a total of 3 events. The Virginia Democrat Party, 18 events during the same time. Wake up, GOP. Jeff, they need help and enthusiasm. Chairman Pete could use a dose of energy. I think that there are a lot of folks inside the Virginia Republican Party, I hate to say it, who just are happy to lose. Why is it that we do not have candidates running in all 100 House of Delegates seats? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. It literally makes no sense to me. Well, why would you not run? Well, you know, Jeff, I mean, why would you run against that Don Scott? Well, because you say, even though you've got a belief that he's going to win, you say you got to fly the flag, gang. You got to have a team where you say, even if you're not going to win, you have got to take one for the team. I've got a long diatribe here on the James River Air text line talking about ancient radio on WRVA. And I, you know what? I just don't have the time to correct all the errors. So all I will say to you, 804, is you are incorrect. 804 elsewhere says, Jeff, Mr. Katz, by and large, the voting population is woefully discombobulated by people like Spamberger, who has her own ideology and power grab ahead of everything else, including the people she is supposed to serve. It is my opinion that she is a massive blob of useless protoplasm. Well, that good turn of phrase there. I want to know, do you want to know how I really feel about politicians like her? No, I think I can take a clue. I am pretty sure that I have figured that one out. President Trump is saying maybe we will, maybe we won't. Take a listen here. President Trump talking a little bit about Iran. Cut number 3.
Have you been answering questions about whether you are moving closer, or you believe the U.S. is moving closer to striking Iranian nuclear facilities? Where's your mindset on that?
I can't say that, right? You don't seriously think I'm going to answer that question. Will you strike the Iranian nuclear component? And what time exactly, sir? Sir, would you strike it? Would you please inform us so we can be there and watch? I mean, you don't know that I'm going to even do it. You don't know. I may do it. I may not do it. I mean, nobody knows what I'm going to do. I can tell you this, that Iran's got a lot of trouble, and they want to negotiate. And I said, why didn't you negotiate with me before all this death and destruction? Why didn't you negotiate? I said to the people, why didn't you negotiate with me 2 weeks ago? You could have done fine. You would have had a country. It's very sad to watch this. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It's so, you know, everyone thought it was going to be the reverse. I didn't think so. And I was telling them, you got to you got to do something. You got to negotiate. And at the end, last minute, they said, no, we're not going to do that. And they got hit. Remember 60 days? And then came the 60. 61 is going to become a very famous number. That was one hell of a hit, that first hit. That was one hell of a hit. Not sustainable, to be honest. That's where it ended. It ended on the first night. Yes.
Is it too late, though? Do you think it's too late to now?
Not really? Nothing's too late. The only thing too late is Powell. Powell's too late. Too late, Powell.
Have the Iranians reached out to you, Mr. President?
What?
Have the Iranians reached out to you?
Yes.
And what did they say?
I said it's very late. You know? I said it's very late to be talking. We may meet. I don't know. There's a big difference between now and a week ago, right? Big difference.
Mr. President, you said we may meet. Mr. Powell said we may meet. Is this about Vance and possibly going to
talk? It's about anybody. They even suggested they come to the White House. It's a big difference. Yeah, but they've suggested that they come to the White House. That's, you know, courageous, but, you know, it's like not easy for them to do. But they suggest, because I can't go now because of what's going on. I had to come back early from the G7, which was terrific, by the way, in Canada. Really terrific. Good people.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating how he's playing everybody. I really do. And you know the way this goes. He's just evil. Mm-hmm. He's a moron. Mm-hmm. He's stupid, Jeff. He's just a stupid man. Oh. Okay. Jeff, he's brilliant, but in a really twisted way. So which one is it? Is he this evil, maniacal genius? Is he this drooling moron? I mean, you got to pick one. And I don't care which one you pick. I know how I think, and I know that none of it is true, but it's entertaining for me to see you make a fool of yourself. So please, pick one. Pick a team. Stick with it. Can't love both the Red Sox and the Yankees. It is a metaphysical impossibility. If, in fact, someone were to love both the Red Sox and the Yankees, Earth would be shaken right off its axis. So you can't do it. It won't happen. So pick a side. Trump's an idiot. Okay, that's your side. Stake it out. Stick to it. Jeff, he's brilliant, but he's evil. Fantastic. You pick your side. And you know where I'm going to be? I'm going to be right here, watching the great accomplishments of my president, and I am going to get an even larger pitcher to fill with the tears of crazy liberals like you. See? All is right in the world. 346, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 351, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Coming up at 5:20 this afternoon, Tower of Power tickets for you, a pair of the tickets. They'll be at the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell this Friday. So 5:20 this afternoon, give you a chance to win those. Don't forget, first thing in the morning, 6 a.m., you listen to Richmond's Morning News with my friend Rich Herrera. Rich was kind enough to invite me on this morning. We had, a great conversation. I enjoy visiting with him. I do. I have a good time, and some interesting things get kicked around. So if you are not yet listening, you should. And you'll let me know. All right. I know. There's still some Jeff. It's not the same. Of course it's not the same. Although, Germ was kind enough. I said the other day, how long has Rich been here? It's a couple of months, right? And what is it? It's more like 6 months, I think. It's longer than I had thought. But again, please, take some time, give him some time, and you make an honest decision. That's all. You're not going to agree with everything. I don't agree with everything. That's fine. It's all good. S in Midlothian hits me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. S says, Jeff, I have the misfortune of living in the same neighborhood as Ghazala hashtag. What a dishonest... Ooh, I can't use that collection of letters, but I get what you're saying. Are you sure that she lives in that neighborhood? No. You might be sure. Let me rephrase the question. Is she sure that she lives in that neighborhood? Because she seems to have some real difficulty figuring out where she lives. I have to say, congratulations. Jeremy, who was on this program during the week, as you may or may not know, produces for Sam Newsman, most trusted puppet in media. He's actually been reporting, as I understand it, since Roswell. And Sam finished third in the, what was it, the media personality category in the Style Weekly competition this week. Jerm, you'll have to give me the details because I want to make sure I get it right. I don't want to mess it up, but that's that is good work on his part. So congratulations to him. And I did get notified by the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Sixth year in a row, we will be in the finalist category for Best of Richmond for the Best Afternoon Radio Show. The entire category started because of me. Now, I know you're Jeff, man, that is just egotistical. Except it did. Because I was at an event. I was hanging out with the guy who was then the publisher of the Times-Dispatch. And I said, hey, you know, you've had this morning category forever. Like, since the radio itself was invented, you never do afternoons. Next thing you know, the next year, we had afternoons. And if I win this year, it'll be 6 years in a row. And I would like to win this year. What I would like to do is win 7 years in a row. Why? Because then I can retire. They retire your jersey. That's it. You're no longer eligible to compete. And I am really looking forward to that. If we can do that, then you will never, ever, ever have to hear me talk about that again. So there you go. Okay, Style Weekly, Best Media Personality, third place. Congratulations to Sam. That's nice. John Reed is coming up at 4:35, the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. What does he make of his Democrat opponent? We'll find out. 3:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 404, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. It's the day after the little election we had, primary election. Already, 804 checking in on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, can you ask John how we can ignite the GOP fire? He's got great passion. He needs to get the same enthusiasm and support from the party. Where can we get yard signs? I called the Winston Sears office, left a message for signs. I didn't even get a call back. I don't know. And I'm going to leave it at that. I legitimately, honestly, sure as I am sitting here, do not know. So, that being the case, I mean, we'll get a little insight, I hope. The Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor, John Reed, will be with us at 4:35. And given that we have the Republican candidate for Lieutenant Governor, we continue to reach out. It's going to be a daily sort of thing, I think, for our Republican nominees for Governor and for Attorney General. They're usually regular guests on this program. What do we have them, Jervis? Like every couple of weeks, each of them was here. So I'd love to get them back on. That being said, let me extend that invitation across the aisle. Oh, I absolutely would love to have the Democrats who are seeking those three statewide offices. You betcha. Could be very interesting. I'm very nice when people come on the show. Sometimes I feel that I'm too nice. My discussion the other day with Sheriff Irving, I was actually quite pleased as people reached out and said, boy, you were very fair. You were very polite. Absolutely. I don't have anything personal against her. I just don't think she's very good at her job. People in the city of Richmond disagreed with me. Okay. You know what's weird, though? For such a, quote, progressive city, in other words, a left-wing city, wouldn't you think they would care about how inmates were being treated? Let's say that their default position, because they're good, upstanding leftists, they hate cops. Okay, well, that's just a given. But you would have thought that they would care about the inmates. Apparently not. Apparently I was wrong. Now, I do care about inmates. And if I could say congratulations, I never mention names of the men who are in my class over at Pamunkey Regional Jail. But I will tell you that today we graduated a class from our Inside Out Dad program at Pamunkey Regional Jail. I was very proud of this. Very proud of this. You think it's easy to spend every Thursday morning with me for the better part of 14 weeks? That's a lot, man. Even I don't want to be with me 14 weeks in a row, but think about that. They had 4 months that they were kind of stuck with me, but they stuck through it. They got themselves through it. They made some great progress. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how the results are in the future. Each of those men that comes through that program, they want to be better dads. Those of us who teach the program want them to be better dads, and we continually ourselves work on becoming better dads. So I am very proud of the fact that we actually had six men graduate. One was actually released last week, so he was not there. But the five of them who were there came in. We had a little discussion. Chris Beach, who's the executive director of the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia, joined us. Joe Pierce, who is my my backup teacher, if you will. If there's a week that I can't make, we don't want to leave anybody sitting on the sideline. Right? It's an intensive program. And so Joe, oftentimes on short notice, shows up, teaches the class, does a great job. And the other part of this is that we also had staff from Pamunkey Regional Jail. I have to say again and again and again that our program, no program, whether it's McShin or ours or anything else, would be possible at Pamunkey Regional Jail were it not for the staff of the jail. They really do care. They really, really, really would like folks who are incarcerated there to make themselves better. They want to give them every tool. They don't want them back. You know, it's not like anybody's looking to give you frequent flyer points. You know, learn some stuff and get the hell out. Get a job. Pay some taxes. Don't come back here. So I am very proud of that. That's the second class that we have graduated over at Pamunkey. And we'll take a few weeks off and then we'll get back into it. 804 in the city says, Jeff, it's safe to put John Reed signs in the city of Richmond. Your house won't get burned down like it will if you put a Trump or a Sears sign up. Well, I don't know. I'm hoping that nobody's house gets burned down, regardless of what sign may or may not be in the front yard. We've got people in my neighborhood who are good, upstanding left wingers. I know, because I see the signs in their front yard. Believe me when I tell you, there's nobody in our neighborhood saying we should go burn that sign down or burn the house down. Well, you look at the sign and go, huh, I never knew that. Well, that's interesting. And you go on about your life. This is why I'm not obsessed with politics. Despite what some people seem to think, I really am not. I hate politics. But it is the process by which we choose leaders. This is the process by which we put together a government of some sort. And coming up with this election in November, at the state level anyway, I believe that the ultimate survival of my beloved Commonwealth is on the line. But we'll talk about that. I got some other stuff here. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell has happened to Tucker Carlson. I think Tucker has lost his ever-loving mind. I really do. Is he on some level letting everybody know about his personal feelings? Is this religious? Does he just not like the Jewish homeland? Because he is all about protecting Iran. I don't get it. He had Senator Ted Cruz on. They recorded yesterday, and I guess the full thing airs tonight, and they have released some of it. Take a listen, if you would. Cut number five.
How many people live in Iran, by the way?
I don't know the population.
At all?
No, I don't know the population.
You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple?
How many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah.
How could you not know that?
I don't sit around memorizing population tables.
Well, it's kind of relevant because you're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Why is it relevant whether it's 90 million or 80 million or 100 million? Why is that relevant?
Because if you don't know anything about the country...
I didn't say I don't know anything about
the country. Okay, what's the ethnic mix of Iran?
They are Persians and predominantly Shia. Okay,
you don't know anything about Iran. So
okay,
actually,
I am not the Tucker Carlson expert on Iran.
You're a senator who's calling for the overthrow of the government.
You don't know anything
about the country.
No, you don't know anything about the country. You're the one who claims they're not trying to murder Donald Trump.
You're the one who can't figure out if it was a good idea to kill General Soleimani,
and you said it was bad.
You don't believe they're trying to murder Trump.
Yes, I do.
Because you're not calling for military strikes against them in retaliation. And if you really believe that.
We're carrying out military strikes today.
You said Israel was.
Right, with our help. I said we. Israel is leading them, but we're supporting them.
Well, you're breaking news here because the U.S. government last night denied, the National Security Council spokesman Alex Pfeiffer denied on behalf of Trump that we were acting on Israel's behalf in any offensive capacity.
No, we're not bombing them. Israel's bombing them.
You just said we were.
We are supporting
this is
Israel.
High stakes. Is there... You're a senator. If you're saying the United States government is at war with Iran right now, people are listening.
Hey.
What a maroon Tucker has become. Why do you think Tucker is now passionately defending, it seems, the lunatics running Iran? Do I care if Ted Cruz knows exactly how many people live in Iran? I don't. I know that everybody who lives in Iran, with the exception of a handful of people who are part of the lunatic component that run it as a dictatorship, as a theocracy, I know that the rest of the people in Iran fundamentally are probably pretty good people, just trying to live their life, don't want to live in an oppressive regime. State, and the Persians and the Jews have had a connection and a relationship that goes back millennia. I don't get what Tucker Carlson is going for here. Do you? If you do, now maybe you do. Maybe you do. I get Tiny Tim Kaine and the ever-constipated Mark Warner. I think that they are shills and they always have been. I think they are phonies, and they always have been. So for them to look for massive support as they are, they see the tea leaves, if you will, the numbers. You have Ghazala Hashmi, who is a virulent hater of the state of Israel. They see that she just won the nomination for lieutenant governor. Well, Mark Warner wants to be reelected, even though he promised not to serve more than a couple of terms, and that was more than a couple of terms ago. So he's going to suck up. Tiny Tim Kaine is just, he's crazy. So that's not a big surprise there. But what's the deal with Tucker Carlson, the so-called woke right? I don't get it. 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I continue to look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. And there is one crazy person, area code 757. If I were to try and count up the number of texts this particular person has sent, it's probably in the thousands. Probably in the thousands. But the most telling part of the most recent diatribes, and I never bother reading them on the air because they're just, well, they're idiotic. But this one happens to say, I hate Israel. Oh, okay. Well, I don't think it's a shock. Believe me, I probably could have predicted that. And as you know, I don't actually do predictions, but I have a feeling I could have called that one from a couple of miles out. Coming up at 5:05, Tower of Power tickets. They will be at the historic Beacon Theater in Hopeville. They're going to be there this Friday. And at 5:20 this afternoon, I will give you a pair of tickets to win. Okay. Jeff, Tucker Carlson is now accusing Ted Cruz and Donald Trump of toppling or taking over the Iranian government. It's an insane statement. Tucker is just off his rocker. Maybe. And says Jeff, Tucker Carlson has apparently consumed the radical Kool-Aid. He's probably jealous that he has no influence on President Trump like Mark Levin does. Well, possibly. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I have been a little taken aback by what he has said recently. You don't have to be in love with Israel. You can be an anti-Semite if you want. You can hate every Jew on the planet. But you do understand, or maybe you don't understand, that the leadership in Iran, such as it is, the supreme leader, and his cult, and it is a death cult that he leads, their goal is to bring about the apocalypse, to bring about the end of the world, because that will signal the return of the Mahdi. Think about that. They don't care about you. Again, they might be thrilled to hear that you hate Jews almost as much as they hate Jews. That's fine. But you're still going to get caught in the proverbial crossfire. So I don't know exactly what's in it for you. I really don't. I don't fully understand that, but I suppose for some it makes perfect sense. We now know who the nominees are on the Democrat side. Ghazala Hashmi, an absolute radical leftist, who herself is not quite sure where she lives, but I don't know, maybe that'll become one of the questions. I guess if she's running statewide now in Virginia, she can just ballpark it and say, well, it's somewhere in central Virginia. But John Reed is the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. He's going to join us at 4:35. We'll get his reaction to the Democrat slate. It is 4:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday afternoon. The real campaign gets underway now, right? Isn't that what everybody keeps saying? All right, well, we have an election coming up for governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. On my side of the aisle, anyway, we knew who our candidates were, who our nominees were. The Democrats had a selection of 6 people for lieutenant governor, 2 people for attorney general. My own personal perspective is that they went out of their way, Virginia Democrats did yesterday, to elect the 2 most radical people out of the options for lieutenant governor and attorney general. So maybe they're just telling us this really is what we believe. It's what we're standing on, and it's going to be very interesting. Now, John Reed has been the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor for some time. He's been with us before. We invite him back, and I will tell you, as I've said to John, I invite all of these folks. We have now 6 statewide candidates. I would love to have each and every one of them on this program and have a conversation about what it is that they see as important for my beloved Commonwealth. John, thank you for being here.
Hey, you know I'm never going to pass up the chance to talk to you, my friend, and I hope you will get Senator Hashmi on at some point. We remember, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, she was booked to come on the morning show when I was hosting it, and then she canceled the night before. And I thought, yeah, I don't even know you. Why would you cancel? I'm not going to be mean. I'm not going to be ugly. We're not going to agree, but it's okay. So at some point here, I guess she and I will talk or have a debate, and that will be good. And I'd like to keep it, you know, above board and not nasty. I think Virginians are tired of all the garbage, and I'm going to try to my best to talk about issues and be reasonable and responsible in the way we address this stuff.
Well, you've been doing that for a long time, reasonable and responsible. Let me inquire. You mentioned debates. I've never run for office, and hoping to keep my record untarnished, I don't intend to run for office. But there should be debates. How does that get organized? Is that you reaching out to her? Is it team members, the party? How does that all work?
You know, sometimes there are groups that want to host a debate, and they will reach out. I think there are a couple of schools that have already done that. I mean, I couldn't get focused on that prematurely until I knew that we were through all of this. So I suspect that there'll be a bunch of groups that will reach out. I think the lawyers do a debate every year, maybe.
Oh, okay.
And then maybe William and Mary. I got to check and see who's done. It's weird. I was the moderator of the debate where Tim Kaine was running for lieutenant governor. How crazy is that? I don't even know what year that was. But back when I was at Channel 8 as one of the anchors, they asked me to be the moderator and one of the questioners. And now look at where I am. I'll be in the hot seat. But I'm excited about it. I did a press conference today. I heard Charles mention it in the newscast, which I appreciate you all covering it and being fair about everything. I'm not looking for you to put your thumb on the scale and help me out. You know, I think you guys will be fair, and I appreciate that. But, you know, Ghazala Hashmi has been the chairwoman of the Education Committee in the State Senate. And does anybody really feel good about public education in Virginia? I mean, it's better than some places, but we got a problem. And I just wish everybody would confess that, and let's get in a room and come up with some solutions that give parents the options instead of us mandating things to people. That's a difference in attitude that I hope to be able to bring to the Capitol.
Do you think that that is the leading issue that separates you from Senator Hashmi?
No, that's going to be one of them. I mean, look, I'm trying not to be mean, but she is really crazy far left. So, yeah, education is going to be one of them. She wants to make sure that the teachers' unions don't lose a dime. And that translates to me to saying, I don't care whether your kids are well-educated. And if, you know, in my case, I left Henrico Public Schools not because the schools weren't good, but because I was having trouble with math. Right. And I needed more personal instruction. So, you know, I went to St. Christopher's. Well, that costs money. And fortunately, my grandparents helped pay for it, and we got a little help, and we made that work. But not everybody has those resources. So, you know, all these Democrats who talk about how much they care about minorities and, you know, the working class families, hey, why don't you actually show that and come up with some solutions so that if you live in a neighborhood that doesn't have the best schools or you don't have a lot of extra money, you still have a shot at going to a school that will give you whatever extra help you need or the type of study that will help you. I just don't understand this mindset where they lock that out.
That is a great point. John Reed is joining us. John, of course, hosted our morning show for a number of years. He is the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. We now know that Ghazala Hashmi, a state senator, maybe from Chesterfield, maybe not from Chesterfield, depending on the way you look at the paperwork. But I'll leave that over there for now. But that is John's opponent. She is the opponent. I also wonder about the radical nature, John. It is one thing, and both of us, I think, have very good friends that go back years who we would disagree with on policy. They would be in a different political party. We can still have a great time. We can discuss things, debate things. But Ghazala Hashmi really does embody the most radical elements inside the Virginia Democrats in the year 2025.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't have chosen a more left, a way, way, way left of center person to help lead their party. And I think that when the average Virginian looks at this binary choice of John Reed, you know, conservative Republican versus a radical leftist who's been in the state Senate proposing crazy ideas, perpetuating the trans ideology that I think is just ruining the lives of a lot of kids, refusing to give tax breaks even on gas to, you know, working families while she talks about caring about working families, I think it's going to be pretty clear. And I want to be that reasonable voice. And I said today, if you don't agree with me, it's okay. I'm still willing to listen to you. I'm still willing to try to find those areas of commonality. Jeff, that's what's been missing in Virginia for the last several years, is that mindset that used to be widespread, where Republicans and Democrats could sit down at a table together and work it out. And look at the way they've treated Glenn Youngkin. I mean, he's bent over backwards to try to work with some of these people, and they flip their middle finger at him and call him a racist and a bigot, and they're horrible to him.
Yep.
So I'm gonna do my best to restore some decency and normalcy to the state capitol, and I think it's gonna be clear that I'm serious about it.
Well, I love to hear that. I also love the fact that We used to have the Virginia way, whether it was Governor Wilder talking about it or other folks in the political realm. The Virginia way was exactly that. It was talking about issues, knowing full well you're not going to agree on everything. There might be some people you wouldn't agree with on anything, but that's okay. But you could still have that conversation. Ghazala Hashmi, who is your opponent now for lieutenant governor, I remind everybody, John Reed is the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. She has gone all in with the sanctuary cities and counties. She has gone all in with the personal attacks on Governor Youngkin. She's gone all in with these pro-Hamas crowds that have popped up. Are these going to be big issues as far as you're concerned?
Oh, of course. They've got to be, because it draws the distinction. Almost everything that people don't like about Virginia today, Ghazala Hashmi has been one of the people leading the Democrat Party to the left. Yeah. You know, whether it was keeping kids out of school, right? And the masks in the school. She was one of the people who was pushing that. I don't think I'm making that up. She would probably still sit here and tell you she did the right thing. Okay, we don't want that. We didn't like that. Even people who were left of center didn't like that.
That's right.
And, you know, one of the things that bothers me is I went to St. John's Church. It's a little thing maybe for some people. But I went to St. John's Church for the anniversary of Patrick Henry's big Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech, right? Mm-hmm. Back in March.
Yes.
And I was proud to be there. I'm proud to be a Virginian. And so I thought, this is great. People around the country will remember Virginia. They'll come to Richmond. This is good for tourism. And it's good for us to understand our history, right?
Yes.
Ghazala Hashmi wasn't in the church with me commemorating that with the governor and all these VIPs. She was standing outside with a big bullhorn screaming about Donald Trump, raising hell in the park, so that the guests who were there kept hearing all these shouts. I'm like, why would you as a state senator choose to help destroy or at least mar an event that we should all take some pride in and help promote the state? And that radical attitude is just not something that I think people are on board with. Even if you feel strongly, it's just not behavior that I would engage in.
Yeah. Yeah, there does seem to be a not just an uncivil attitude. There's also an immature attitude of if I don't like what you're saying or I don't agree with, I'm simply going to sit here and throw a tantrum, which seems to define a lot of the Democrats these days in terms of their behavior. And you point out quite correctly, John, the very same people who are telling us they're in favor of helping working people and poor people are saying, oh, no, we're not going to cut the car tax. We're not going to have any sort of tax cut for you and let you keep your own money. We'll hold on to it. I mean, after all, we know better than you do how to spend it.
Yeah. And then it's interesting that at least give the Democrats credit for recognizing that LeVar Stoney was a disaster in Richmond. I mean, did you see those numbers?
Yeah.
He just got crushed in the city that elected him mayor twice.
Yep.
They realized this guy has totally blown it, but then they never recalibrate and say, maybe it's our ideas that are bad ideas, so they go with Ghazala Hashmi.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at some point everybody's going to wake up and go, you know what? It's time for reasonable and responsible and fair-minded people back at the Capitol, and they'll be able to work this out in the best interest of the citizens. And one of the things I want to stress with everybody is I'm for your freedom. You know, I don't think we need Democrats or Republicans sitting in Richmond telling everybody what they have to do. I think we need to get out of people's way. Let them make good decisions for their business and their personal lives, you know, as much as we possibly can. We're not going to be dictating from Richmond what different counties have to do. You know, as much as possible, let's let people make their own decisions. And hopefully we will educate and inspire a really great population of people who want to make those good decisions. And I just hope that maybe I'll be able to cut through all the garbage and people will hear what I pray is a refreshing, freedom-based message for my campaign and for the future of Virginia.
Well, I love it. I am looking forward to the campaign. I think it's going to be fascinating. I think there are some very interesting folks, and obviously I want people to reach out to you. Remind everybody about your website is what your website is, rather, so they can learn more, support you if they like, get a sign, whatever.
Make a big donation. That could
make
help
a big
me.
Donation, sure. Why not?
JohnReedForVirginia.com, R-E-I-D, all spelled out, JohnReedForVirginia.com. And you know what, Jeff, you brought up the debate thing.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys at WRVA offer to host a debate? I mean, I would do it because I think you would treat me fairly. Maybe we could convince Senator Hashmi. I would be up for that if y'all want to do it.
Fair enough. I will get Jeremy on that ASAP. We're going to reach out to everybody. I've told you this from the beginning. It's not going to be just you. Everybody is invited. I think the future of this Commonwealth, my beloved Commonwealth, is on the line. I want everybody here. Yeah, we'd be happy to have such a debate. John, I look forward to chatting with you again in the not-too-distant future. I'm hoping I get the chance to chat with your opponent as well, because I think that would be fascinating. And as I always say, please give your mom a hug, because she's an amazing woman.
She will be very happy to hear from you always. Thank you, Jeff. Tell everybody hi there at the station.
Will do. Thank you, John. That is John Reed. He is the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. And if you don't know John's mom, Judy Reed, like 10 of the best human beings you would ever meet. Great, great people. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Lovely note here from somebody on Facebook. Jeff, where's Barry Moore? I thought Barry was with you every Wednesday or every other Wednesday. What gives? Oh, Barry bailed. I don't know. He got a better offer, right? Do we even know, Germ? I'm going to yell at him the next time I talk to him. But, yeah, he'll be back. We'll get him. there was a conflict. These things happen, so not to worry. That will be fine. Next Friday Eve, not tomorrow, because I won't be here. It's Heidi's birthday, so we're celebrating. We're celebrating for a couple of days, actually. But a week from tomorrow, we've got Rob Chadwick joining us. Rob is the big director of education and training for the United States Concealed Carry Association, retired from the FBI. Great guy, just an absolutely super dude. And so he will be with us 1 week from tomorrow. How do I know? Because he's already asked. Wanted to confirm it. That's how ahead he is at planning. Germ, let's not embarrass ourselves. Let's make sure we've got it confirmed, because he says it's confirmed. I've got a text here I've got to share, and I will share it with John Reed, by the way. That was the request. Jeff, could John Reed possibly clarify his position on Stacey Davenport? As when that election for Chesterfield Commonwealth's attorney was going on, he sounded like he supported her and actually was not very open to Aaron Barr. I'm trying to help John out in securing the vote of Chesterfield County law enforcement. Absolutely. I don't recall that. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but I don't recall that. I know I was very much on Aaron Barr's side. I mean, I'll just brutally honest with you. I thought she was the better candidate. I'm glad she won. Congressman John McGuire is going to be joining us every other Tuesday. That starts this Tuesday. It's taken a good deal of fancy footwork, but we've got it locked in. So this Tuesday, every other Tuesday, Congressman John McGuire joins us. It is 4:56. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, and it is hot. How hot is it? It's hot. I'm just telling you, it's hot. It's really hot. It's damn hot. And it's going to get hotter. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, man, but I'm just telling you, next week, north of 95. Not the road, no, the temperature. We will be at 95 and above. That's what I'm seeing right now, and not much in the way of precipitation. All right, so we know what is going to happen for the next few months, right? Whether you hate politics as I do, or you love politics like some do, we will certainly be focused on this upcoming election. I am in love with Virginia. I refer to it as my beloved Commonwealth. Now, I know some people are from here. And I'm not a from here, I'm a come here. But I came here. I got here as fast as I could. And I don't want to leave. I do. I love Virginia. I especially love Hanover. Hanover County is simply the best place on planet Earth. And you cannot move here. We're all filled up. Sorry, we have no more room left. But it is a great place. And so I don't want to see damage done to Virginia. I don't want to see Virginia become California East. And I listen to the spam burgers and the Hashmis and the Joneses, and all I hear is their desire to destroy Virginia and simply turn it into California East. It's sad. They don't have support across the state, as you know, but they have support in Northern Virginia. This is the way the elections have gone. What, the last 20-some years, really, with the exception of a couple of years back, when Glenn Youngkin and Winsom Sears and Jason Meares were able to win. It is traditionally Northern Virginia at this point that has dictated for the rest of us what we get, what we see, what we do, what happens to us, how high our taxes are, how we're treated, how our children are not being protected in schools. We get all of that from Northern Virginia. And if you listen to Spamberger, Hashmi, and Jones, you will hear how much they hate Donald Trump. Each of them on board with your daughters losing scholarships to boys. Each of them on board with boys being in the shower with your daughters. Is that really what most of us want? You remember there was a time that it was pitched, there was an idea pitched to let Northern Virginia leave. Be their own state or join up with Maryland. Go back into the District of Columbia. I don't know. All sorts of, there were. People talked about it seemingly seriously. I don't think it's a serious option anymore. But in retrospect, I'll bet you there are a few of us thinking, you know, maybe we would just like to let that happen. It's a little late now. You are seeing performance art across America right now. Kabuki theater on the part of the leftists. You saw that that goofy Alex Padilla from California making sure that he was removed from the Kristi Noem press conference. And he has done a huge fundraising effort on behalf of it. He's turning it into commercials. He's claiming that he was identifying himself from the very beginning. He's a senator. Well, that's not true. And all you have to do is, as John Madden used to say, go to the tape. Go and look at the actual video. Padilla doesn't bother mentioning that he's a United States senator or his name until after he has been subdued. He charged at Kristi Noem. But it's not going to matter, right? Because you see the way the coverage is playing out. Same thing with this goofball up in New York. He's one of the goofballs who's running for mayor up there in New York City. And he decided to engage in his own little piece of performance art. Now, I want you to take a listen to this. ABC News. Yeah, ABC News. They decided to cover it. Take a listen. Cut number one.
Now to the dramatic scene in New York City. A candidate for mayor detained by ICE agents inside immigration court. Agents handcuffing him and taking him away. Here's Aaron Katursky.
Tonight, 1 week before the primary in the race for New York City's mayor, the dramatic scene involving one of the candidates inside immigration court.
Where is it?
ICE agents pulling Brad Lander, an elected official and Democratic candidate for mayor, through a hallway, pushing him against the wall, locking him in handcuffs.
You don't have authority to arrest U.S. citizens. Sir, you don't have the authority to arrest U.S. citizens. I'm not obstructing. I'm standing right here in the hallway. I asked to see the judicial warrant.
Lander had linked arms with a migrant officers were trying to arrest, prying the two men apart. Homeland Security officials accused Lander of assault and impeding a federal officer. Federal prosecutors said they're investigating, but late today, Lander walking out free.
ICE said you assaulted an officer.
I mean, you guys all saw it on video, so you know exactly what happened. And I think probably on advice of counsel, I will not characterize the events. But I certainly did not assault an officer.
It comes days after a United States senator was detained in California.
Hands up, hands up. I'm Senator Alex Padilla. I have questions for the secretary.
Also, I want to talk.
Senator Alex Padilla forcibly removed from a press conference as he tried to ask Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem about ICE arrests in Los Angeles. Today, Padilla emotional.
I was forced to the ground.
In his first speech on the Senate floor and issuing this warning.
What's happening is not just a threat to California, it's a threat to everyone in every state.
These public officials are being detained, David, during an uptick in ICE arrests at immigration courts around the country. David,
Aaron Petursky with us again tonight. Aaron.
It is a fascinating pseudo report. The guy in New York, he's the city comptroller. He said, you all saw it. Do you notice how far into the report they say he had linked arms with the illegal alien? They didn't bother showing any of that video. Isn't that weird? They didn't show. No, they didn't. And if you want to see the video, go to The Jeff Katz Show over on Facebook. I've got it posted there, The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. They didn't actually show that part of the video. Now, that is editing on the part of ABC National News. They made that decision. They know exactly what they want to show. I would imagine they know why they want to show it, and they know what they don't want to show and why they don't want to show it. So they had the story pre-written. They were going to present this guy as somehow being the victim of these ICE agents, and then you heard him ranting like a wacko. You don't have the right to arrest American citizens. Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. These are federal law enforcement officers. There's no restriction. Well, you can only arrest short people. I'm sorry. No, it doesn't work that way. You can arrest. They have the full power to arrest, and that's what they were going to do. I wasn't interfering. Yeah, you were. That is not a subjective determination. Anyone who watches the entire video and watches you getting in between the illegal alien who is going to be arrested and blocking the officers trying to effect the arrest, clearly you're interfering. Then he says, I want to see a judicial warrant. For what? I don't need a warrant to arrest you when you are interfering with an arrest. You were not being picked up on a warrant. You have no standing in this matter, and you decided to inject yourself along with a full video crew. He brought his own video crew. Anybody want to wonder why? Because this is where they are now. It is all performance art. It is twisted. It really, really is. Don't forget, coming up just a couple of minutes from now, I got a pair of tickets to go see Tower of Power. They are going to be at the Beacon Theater this Friday, right around 5:20. We'll give you the chance to call in, and hopefully you'll be the winner of those tickets. Mike Dickinson is going to be along with us at 5:35, our citizen journalist. I'm curious to know what he's thinking. I want to hear what he has to say about the defeat of Shannon Taylor, the defeat of LeVar Stoney, and how the House of Delegates races might be shaping up now that we know more. So he'll be with us at 5:35. James River Air text line, man, that is always available to you, and you should always take advantage of it. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. What are you doing Friday? How about heading down to the Beacon Theater, historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell? Tower of Power is playing, and I'd love to give you the tickets. Caller number 7. We'll take lucky caller number 7 at 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804-1140. Caller number 7, you're going to score yourself a pair of tickets for Tower of Power this Friday at the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. It's a great location. We've done a whole slew of our politics and pints events down there. I don't know when the next one might be or where it might be, but I'm sure it will be. So as soon as I know, you'll know. Okay, I'll let you know on that. Really a great decision coming out of the Supreme Court today. Did you see this? That says children can be protected by the state in which they live. They can't be subjected to chemical castration and genital mutilation, so-called gender change surgery, or the even more insulting term, gender affirming. Oh, disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I would hope that there's some efforts here in our beloved Commonwealth to protect our children from this sort of twisted activity. And we've had hospitals right here in Virginia, as we know, saying, oh, we don't do any of that stuff. Then there was an order that came down from President Trump. They said, well, we're going to stop doing the stuff we never did. We don't do it, but we're going to stop doing it anyway. Now, with the Supreme Court stepping in, upholding the Tennessee ban on that surgery for teenagers and younger, well, there's an opportunity, really, to protect our kids. If you're 25 years old and you've decided, even though you're a boy, you want to be a girl, knock yourself out. I don't really care. I don't. And that, by the way, is the highest regard I can provide to you, that I am not spending any time thinking about how you should be living your life. However, if you're not 25, if you are 5 or 10 or 15, then I say to all of these disgusting folks who want to perform that activity on you, hands off. Do not touch the children. We do not allow children to enter into legal contracts. We do not allow children to get tattoos. We do not allow children to make decisions that will impact them for the rest of their life, because we know they are not equipped to do it. They are not mentally equipped to do it. So the idea that we would say full steam ahead with some 11-year-old who says, oh, I'm sure I was born in the wrong body, could you chop this off, please? No. Mm-mm. No. You have to stand for something. You've got to take a stand for something. And this ought to be one of those issues that everybody should be on board with. Well, we'll see. We'll see if the Supreme Court decision changes some of the activity, some of the statements, some of the conduct that we have seen, not only around the country, as I said, but here in Virginia, sadly. All right, Mike Dickinson, our citizen reporter, is going to be with us in just a couple of moments. We'll talk about the pretty decisive loss of LeVar Stoney in the city of Richmond. That's interesting. And Shannon Taylor, I guess, is still stuck being the Commonwealth's attorney in Henrico. 525, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. You know what that means. Mike Dickinson, our citizen journalist, joins us. Mike has got some great insight, great analysis on issues impacting Central Virginia. I don't know that there's anybody who really gets as deep down and as hyper-local in the city and the suburban counties as Mike does. And so it seems perfectly appropriate to bring Mike in, talk a little bit about some of these results yesterday. Mike, thank you for being here, sir.
Anytime for you.
I do appreciate it. We've got a lot that we need to talk about. Now, there's been a lot of talk about some of the bigger names, obviously, but I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to talk about just what a terrible job LeVar Stoney did. And, just have at it, discuss it a little bit, and then we'll move on to some of the other stuff, all right?
Well, anything LeVar Stoney has touched fails. We know that.
Yep.
LeVar Stoney totally failed in the Metro Richmond area. Democrats rejected him. Hanover, Henrico, Richmond City, Chesterfield, he couldn't carry any of those yesterday. Hashmi carried all of them. Yep. And what is more surprising is that Stoney lost the nomination by about 3,500 votes. But he lost the city of Richmond, where he was mayor, mind you, for 8 years. LeVar Stoney was mayor of Richmond. Yep. He lost the city of Richmond by 10,000 votes.
Wow.
So the people of Richmond just totally rejected him. And you can see that. I mean, I think it was, I don't know if it's a referendum on him or his mm-hmm. style of leadership or his do-nothingness or whatever, but you could kind of see that coming because in the last few weeks he had kind of pivoted to making a desperation play in Northern Virginia where he ended up winning Loudoun. He won Loudoun County.
Wow.
But besides that, all LeVar could manage to win was a lot of these rural, old-school Democrat areas around Central Virginia, but he couldn't get much more than that.
It's interesting, Mike. Now, you know, he loses the city of Richmond by 10,000 votes. Out of the 72 precincts in the city, he only won 17 of them. You note that he carries Loudoun. I chalk that up to the Terry McAuliffe machine.
Right.
If he had even been able to get, in cards, like a push. You know, if he would have gone 50-50, didn't win, didn't lose in the city, he'd be the nominee today.
Exactly, and I was about to say that point. Well, if he had gone 50-50 in the city, he would have won, but he has just done such a terrible job, and I think that a lot of people are looking at it in hindsight. We've both been talking about how bad LeVar is for the last 8 years, really,
right,
me and you.
That's right.
We've been critical of everything he's done, and it seems like the last few months, everybody else has woken up, especially with this ongoing water crisis, about just how bad of a job LeVar Stoney did. So now, hopefully, LeVar will move on to a job that he's not qualified for, like asking, do you want fries with that? Because, sadly, that's all. I mean, he's famous for being Terry McAuliffe's flunky,
right,
with his green energy cars, and he couldn't even run that business right. So, good job, LeVar. I hope you have a good vacation. Don't come back. Go do something you're good at, like playing with Play-Doh.
There you go. I will not miss him. I just want to be sure he leaves. But you know what? If it says he leaves faster than I promise, I will miss him. But he's just got to go. Let's go to Henrico County. Somebody else that you have had some interactions with over the years, Shannon Taylor, the Commonwealth's attorney. Look, she has been running for attorney general for years. Right? This was just the open campaign. She's been doing that for years, and she too comes up short.
Yes, she ended up losing her race by about 10,000 votes.
Wow.
48%. She got a lot of the mountainous western part of Virginia and some of the central Virginia locations, but not a whole lot.
Right.
Jay Jones pretty much got all of Tidewater, all of the southern North Carolina border counties.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, Shannon Taylor just, I don't know if her message wasn't good or what it was, but even in Henrico County, she didn't do that well. She only won Henrico by 6,000 votes. She only won Hanover by about 500 votes. She didn't run up really the good margins that she needed in those other counties.
It's interesting. I wonder what she does. Does she stay as Commonwealth's attorney in Henrico? Does she pitch for something else? Any thoughts on that?
I don't know where she goes from here. Maybe she tries again. Maybe for the sake of Henrico County, she'll leave and finally let somebody come into Henrico County that would do a good job and support the police and get law and order back going on.
Yeah.
But you know, she was kind of a victim of. I mean, she was somebody that talked a lot about DEI and BLM, and at the end of the day, it seems like, you know, a good portion of the BLM voters or support voters voted for Jay Jones, even though they didn't know him, they voted for him. And she was a victim of her own philosophy.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Mike Dickinson joining us. Mike joins us once a week, every Wednesday at 5:35. We let him analyze the things that are going on. A great citizen journalist doing work that, quite frankly, I don't think anybody else does. Let's talk about some of these other things. You mentioned law and order. And in the city of Richmond, I thought this was fascinating. Colette McEachin just blew Tom Barber out of the water. I mean, it wasn't even close at all, not even close. I don't think he won a single solitary precinct. And is that because she has been so friendly to the criminal element, or is it something else? Was he just not a very good candidate?
I think that it's a combination of both. She has not done anything to really irritate many people. I mean, except for the people who want law and order. She hasn't gone after it. Her tagline is she always talks about restorative justice and all of this other stuff.
Yeah.
And we've seen her track record of letting criminals off. I mean, you can see how it is. I mean, we've talked about on this show many times, 95% of the big crimes that happen in Richmond, we can go back and pull the court records, and it's been somebody who's had an interaction, and they've been arrested before, and they've been in the city of Richmond before, and the criminal justice system, and they've been let off with probation, no prosk. That's kind of an ongoing cycle in the Richmond City courts with Colette McKeachin.
Right,
but
right.
I mean, I also think Tom Barber is also, you talk about Colette McKeachin being bad. Tom Barber is Mr. Portland. He wanted to turn Richmond into Portland, Oregon, as far as with his, you know, his attack on the police and not letting them do anything, and really, really, I mean, dangerous. So with the battle between Colette McKeachin and Tom Barber is really, do you want to deal with a rattlesnake or do you want to deal with a scorpion?
Wow. All right. Let's talk about the sheriff's race, because this was interesting. You know, Bill Burnett, of course, was the lieutenant colonel for Sheriff Woody, and Antoinette Irving has been the sheriff for 8 years. She just got reelected, clearly, to be the sheriff for 4 years more. I had both of them on this program. I thought they had very, very different points of view. But I would have thought, Mike, that in a city that has become as, quote, progressive, as left-wing as Richmond has, that there would have been more concern for the inmates at the Richmond City Jail and just what a terrible situation has existed now for the last couple of years under Sheriff Irving, but apparently not the case.
No, she won by about 2,500 votes, 54% to 45%. And looking at the breakdown of the city, she really, I mean, Irving, as terrible as she is, she got most of the high-density areas. She got most of the Fan, Church Hill, Ginner Park, a lot of the big areas on Southside. Burnett did well. He got a bunch of precincts. He just didn't get some of those Southside precincts that he got 4 years ago. But I mean, she ran up the big margins over in Church Hill, the Fan, those areas. She did well, and it's surprising because that's where a lot of these, you know, anti-police treat the criminals as kid gloves people live at, but you know, and they're dying from overdoses in her jail, but they don't really seem to want to do anything about it.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. Also, I had a number of people, some of whom were relatively new to the area, but they said, well, where are the Republicans? And I thought you should have warned me because I was drinking coffee. You know, I got to do a spit take. But OK, where were the Republicans? Not a single Republican running for Commonwealth's attorney or for sheriff. What about in November? Can anybody run as an independent, or is that it? It's done.
It's done now. It's done now. There'll be no other. I mean, Irving is one. I mean, this was the election for sheriff. Yep. There'll be no Republican person, a nominee running against her. And same thing with Commonwealth attorney. Mm. And it's sad because, you know, we talk good. We're very good at talking. But the people responsible for finding local candidates, at the end of the day, everything is local. You've got to have local candidates. You've got to have an army behind you. And you've got to find people willing to put their name on the line and go out there and fight. And if you're not able to do that, then you're going to be stuck in this bad situation like the city of Richmond is.
Yep. It is. Well, it is what it is. Mike, I always appreciate you being here. I'm not sure where you are. Social media presence. I know you were building something, getting something together. It's coming. Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes,
all right.
Coming.
Now, the other part of this conversation that we have to address. When exactly does John Cena drop that title?
I don't know. It's very interesting so far to see what's going on and when they're going to take it off of him and who they're going to put it back on and how they're playing out the storyline. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Because he's got, what, just a couple of months left with the company, and then he moves to Hollywood and gets another hair transplant or whatever his deal is. He's done.
Supposedly by the end of the year, everything is his last. It's his last SummerSlam, his last WrestleMania, everything is his last. So I don't know when they're going to, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's got to happen soon. All right. Well, listen, Mike, I always appreciate you being here. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You're a good part of this program. We always get such great feedback. I'm looking forward to you getting some of your social media back up and running ASAP because there's a lot of people that want to follow you. Thank you, sir. We will talk next week.
Thanks.
Thank you. That is Mike Dickinson. He is our citizen journalist. I know there are a lot of people know about Andy Ngo. I'm telling you, that guy right there, he is our local Andy Ngo. 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Thanks again to Mike Dickinson, running just a couple of moments behind, but always got time for a John Cena update, right? I don't even follow the product in this day and age, and even I'm wondering, okay, well, now, I mean, I know enough. They got the strap on him. He's leaving. He's retiring. He's going elsewhere. You got to get it off him. By the by, I hate the fact we're having this conversation. Because, now I'm going to sound like your grandpa. Yeah, back in my day. But back in my day, we had a little thing called kayfabe. We didn't talk about this stuff. Right? You didn't know what was going on, and that was the point. We're putting on a show. We've always been putting on a show, but you weren't supposed to know the lines in the script or, you know, where the trap door was located or any of that stuff. But well, I mean, it is what it is now. I was on ESPN many years ago. Is it? Gosh, I'm not an ESPN watcher. Never have it. I think it was called Beyond the Lines or In the Lines or something like that. Something with the lines. I know that was something with the lines on ESPN. I don't even know if it's still on. But they came and they did probably a week with our promotion in New England, National Wrestling Alliance New England. And they were there as we were putting stuff together. And there were a bunch of us who were like, hey, we can't do this. And it was at the time, quite frankly, where Mr. McMahon had already exposed the business completely and totally. And it had just become something else. And so, yeah, they got to see us putting stuff together and talking about things being weeks out. I think they probably came to one of our TV tapings. Our TV tapings would be one day. It was almost always a Saturday. And they would start 7, 8 in the morning, and we wouldn't get out of there till midnight. We were doing weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks worth of TV. And you had to remember stuff, and you had to remember, you know, what you were wearing. How many sets of clothes did you wear? Can you change something up to make it look a little bit fresher? Where's the house show going to be? But it's still to this day, I have such great fond memories of it. And you make great friends. When you're on the road, you make some good friends. And then it's interesting to me, I have a great guy, and you probably know him, right? Dr. Bob Quarles. I've talked about Dr. Bob. Bob was the medical director for the World Wrestling Federation. I think he spent about 5 years working for them, traveling all over the place. And it's just one of those things. I love spending time with people who spent time in the business, and some of them at much higher levels than I was. You know, I never made it to Stanford. I mean, that was never, you know, Stanford, Connecticut. That wasn't my thing, but great fun with that. And the good doctor and I are planning to do a pilgrimage this summer down to see Jimmy Valiant. You know, Jimmy Valiant lives down in Allegheny County, and he's got his birthday coming up. And I think Jimmy is probably at this point 81. So we're going to do a road trip. I don't know. I just felt compelled to share that with you. So there you go. All right. Speaking of birthdays, yes, send a birthday card to Jimmy Valiant, but please go to my Facebook pages, get the address, and send a birthday card to my pal, your pal, Emily Morrissey. Okay. She's got a big birthday coming up in a couple of days, and I want to make sure she's loaded with cards. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, we do this all over again on Friday, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.